We're going to continue on in our series that we've been doing. We've had a break for a couple Sundays here because of Mother's Day, and last week we had the Gideons with us. But getting back into our series that we're doing on tithing, and we've entitled the series, What About the Tithe? And we're going to look at part three today, and we talked about this two or three weeks ago, that we would cover this. What is a tithe used for? What is it used for? Where does it go? What's it used for? And before we go any farther, we've we're going to look at a lot of scripture this morning, so you might not have time to look them all up, but jot them down and look them up when you get home, and take a few notes if you want to on the way. But we're going to cover a lot of territory this morning. But first of all, the tithe, as you just saw in that video, the tithe is one-tenth. Or 10%. That's what the word tithe means. It's an old English word that means one-tenth. So the tithe, and the Bible talks about, and maybe I should ask this as a question, who owns the tithe? God. The Bible says the tithe is the Lord's. It is holy to the Lord. Okay? Now, so we're going to look at a couple of scriptures on that this morning as we get into it. We've talked about in the past, the first message we talked about tithing. We talked about Abraham when he met Melchizedek after the slaughter of the kings. And the Bible says he gave Melchizedek tithe of all the spoils that he took from the battle. So he gave Melchizedek tithe of all. The Bible talks about over in Hebrews chapter 7. The Bible says, here men that die receive tithe, but there he receives them of whom it is witnessed he lives. Jesus lives, and he still receives our tithes. When we bring our tithes and our offerings, and we bring them, we put it in an offering plate, not like the guy said on the video, but when we put them in the offering plate, you know, in one sense, we're bringing that to God. You know, we usually have prayer. Dave usually prays over the offering, you know, when we receive it, and we're presenting that to God as our tithe. And this is what God told the children of Israel to do all down through their history. That was the first Sunday we looked at but Abraham and Melchizedek, and we tied some scriptures in there. And then the following week we went back to look at the tithe. The principles there, right back from the Garden of Eden, God said there's a certain portion that belongs to him. And man was not to take God's portion or to touch God's portion. So this is where we're at, and today, like I said, we're going to look at where does a tithe go? What is it used for? And there's a lot of people, you know. I remember years ago we had somebody here at Napanee, actually, not belonging to the church, but somebody called and wanted some help. And now each month we give so much to the Salvation Army to help out and different things. And all the churches have agreed, so, you know, because what happened, people who come here and get bit of money, to go to the Anglican church, get a bit of money, the United Church, get a bit of money, and they'd make a salary just going around churches, you know. And so the church decided that what we'd do, we would support the Salvation Army, and anybody came, we just channel them through the Salvation Army. They keep a record of everything and stuff like that. So anyway, we channeled them through the Salvation Army. And so anyway, he got kind of mad at me because, you know, this fellow we've already helped two or three times before that. And it was just a thing that was recurring over and over and over, so we just channeled him through the Salvation Army. And he got mad, and he said, well, he said, the government gives you fellows money, he said, to help out people, he said. And he went on with this big spiel, you know, about how the government gives the money to the churches, and as if the government is giving money to the churches. The government don't give any money to the churches, okay, so keep that in mind, you know. But that's the way a lot of people understand, you know, how does a church run? It's got to be the government. No, it's not the government, it's tithes and offerings that are brought in by the people in the church. So anyway, where does a tithe go? What is it used for? And as I said, there's a lot of scriptures, and the next slide is going to frighten you, but we'll get through them, okay? We're just going to do a lot of reading this morning. And if I can get this to work, here we go. Look at the scripture we're going to look at. It would normally take about 4 or 5 hours to go through this, but we'll do it in about 2 hours a day. No, seriously, we'll get through it. Okay, first of all, we're just going to look at each verse. So as I said, you can jot down the references and look them up. If you're fast enough to look through the scriptures and find them, go for it. But anyway, we're going to go down through it. First of all, let's begin back where we started out way back in Leviticus chapter 27, verses 30 and 32. Verse 30 says, "And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy to the Lord." So the tithe belongs to the Lord, and God considers it holy. Verse 32 says, "And concerning the tithe of the herd, of the flock, or whatever passes under the rod, the tenth one shall be holy to the Lord." The tenth one is holy to the Lord. Now, does God think or believe that the tithe is His? Does God believe that the tithe is His? Yes. Okay, what do you believe about it? I won't ask you to answer that one, but think about it. Okay, Psalm 115, and we're just going to read one verse there. Verse 16 is the one I really want to touch on anyway. He says, "The heaven..." Now remember, we talk about there the first, I think it was a verse, message, maybe it was last, what we did last time, I'm not sure. But one of the messages, we talk about the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Everything that's in it, all they that dwell therein, it all belongs to God. Remember, we went through a number of verses to establish that. It all belongs to God. Here in Psalm 115, verse 16, it says, "The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's. But the earth He has given to the children of men." Now, we know that God owns everything by creation. God is the one that created it. And by order of creation, He's the creator. He owns everything. But He's given us the right to own things on the earth, to have things on the earth. So the earth, the heaven, he said, "Even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth He has given to the children of men." A lot of people, when they see things going wrong in the world, they say, "Wonder why is God doing that?" Listen, the earth He's given to the children of men. A lot of the things that are going on in the world is brought on by man. A lot. Anyway, Malachi, chapter 3. Now, this is a passage that is very familiar to all of us, and I'll just go down through it. The Bible says here, Malachi chapter 3, verse 6 down to 11, he says, "For I am the Lord, and I change not." Now, this is interesting, and we need to keep that in mind. I am the Lord, and I change not. The Bible says over in the New Testament, the Hebrews, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Bible tells us that the Word of God is settled forever. So God says, "I am the Lord, and I change not." Now, here's something that we need to understand. When we look at the Bible, we have the Old Testament and the New Testament. Now, let me get something straight before we go any further, because sometimes when we talk about the New Covenant and things like this, people think that, you know, the Old Testament is not relevant for us today, and some things in there are not relevant. We need to understand, how much of this is God's Word? All of it. Okay, so still God's Word. Some things have changed between the two covenants. We understand that our access to God has changed. The way that we come to God has changed. We can come boldly before God now. We can come boldly into the throne of grace because there's a new and living way opened up for us. The way of salvation has changed. I shouldn't say has changed because it's always been by grace, but the sacrifice for salvation, one sacrifice for sin forever has already been paid. So we don't have to bring some of the sacrifices that the children of Israel had to bring under the old covenant. But some of the principles under the old covenant are still for us today. You know, and when we go back, I mean, they had faith back under the old covenant. We have faith today. They had grace back under the old covenant. We have grace today. So we need to understand that in the midst of all that, this Bible is entirely from cover to cover God's Word. We need to understand it. So just because something is in the Old Testament doesn't mean to say it's not relevant for us today. We have to understand the sacrifice for sin. When we read about sacrifices back there, they all point to Jesus. We understand that. So Jesus has searched the Scriptures. They testify about me. So, okay, here's in Malachi chapter 3, verse 6 and 11. He said, "I am the Lord, and I change not." He said, "Therefore you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. Yet from the days of your fathers you have gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them." Now this is when the children of Israel came back from Babylonian captivity. Anybody remember that in the Scriptures? They were in Babylonian captivity for 70 years. They came out. Now they are reestablishing their system of worship back in their own land in Israel. And God said to the priest, and the book of Malachi is written basically to the priest to get things in order. And one of the things that God mentioned right here, let's read down through it. He said, "You have gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them." Then he says, "Return to me and I will return to you." Now, a lot of times we read that, God says, if you come back to me, I'll come back to you. Now, that's one way of saying it, and probably the outcome would be the same anyway. But they look at him and they said, "Well, how? What do you mean, return? Which way do we return to you?" Okay, so he wasn't necessarily talking about them returning, even though they had to return themselves. But it was something there that he was talking to them. They said, in which way? In what way shall we return? And then God flips it back to him again. He says, will a man rob God? He said, yet you have robbed me. And you say, in what way have we robbed you? They said, how do we rob you? Then God comes back to him again, in tithes and offerings. I mean, does God consider the tithe belong to him? I mean, God said to me, he said, you're taking it, you're robbing me. And he said, you are cursed with a curse, even for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Then he says, bring all the tithe into the storehouse. Now we talk about, where is it going? What is it used for? God says, bring it into the storehouse. Now I know there's, you know, you could look at it and say, well, what is a storehouse? Back in those days, they had a temple, and they had buildings all around the temple area where they stored the grain and the, you know, all the different things. And, you know, they would bring it in like that. But where is a storehouse for us today? It's a local church where we come together to worship the Lord and do ministry and all these different things. It's a local church. So God says, bring all the tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven. Now, notice this. God says, and you'll find this, and don't get upset what I'm saying. Listen, I've told you this before. I haven't preached on tithing. At least as a series. I might have mentioned it often now, but I don't think I've done a sermon actually on tithing since 1998. Like I said a couple weeks ago, that was back in the 1900s. So it's a long time since we did tithing message, okay? So we're not always looking for your money. We're not always, you know, doing all these different things, you know, the excuses that people use. But we need to understand that we need to believe what God's word says, and we need to practice what God says in his word, okay? Now, so God says here, And the very first thing, now you got to understand, these people were away from God, living in bondage, and came back into their own country, and they never put things in order to start up the system of worship again and tithing and all these different things. And God said, return to me. And they said, what do you mean return? How? What do we do? He said, your tithes and your offerings. You return the tithes, I'll return the blessing. That's basically what he's saying to them. Now, so we need to understand, the very first thing, when a person gets their heart right with God and gets in the place where he should be, the very first thing to start doing, it starts affecting the tithing. Okay? And that was the very first thing that God mentioned. And I've seen this over the years, sometimes when people are laxy, lazy, serving the Lord and stuff like that. We all go through it. I'm not being here condemning today, okay? So don't think I'm coming across like that. But I've noticed over the years, and you notice as well, that the very first thing, when you start to turn towards God, you start to tithe. You know? Now, let's continue on. God says, And let me put this in there, and I'll get through the others faster. Don't get nervous. But when we want God to do something for us, we know God is our supply. Anybody got any doubt with that? He's our total supply. Everything we need is in him. Okay? And a lot of times we're begging God for things, and God says, well, give me something that I can use as a seed. You see this all through Scripture. God always took something very small. It could be something, you know, it was very insignificant at times. God always took that in order to bless people with. I mean, when Jesus fed the 5,000, he took a little boy's lunch and he lifted it up and he blessed it. And when the blessing is added to it, it multiplies. You understand? So your tithe, this is the principle of the tithe. When you bring your tithe and give to God, you're giving him something from your possessions, and you give it to him and allow him to bless you. But he needs something to bless. You say, God, give me a big bank account. Give me this, give me that. God says, okay, no problem. Just give me something to work with. Give me something that you can use as a seed. He said to Moses, when Moses was going to deliver the children of Israel, Moses said, I can't do it. He said, I stutter. He said, I can't do this. And God says, Moses, what do you got in your hand? He said, a stick. And God said, that'll do. Just give it to me. And the minute that Moses released it to God, God began to work miracles. And it's the very same thing with everything in our lives. The minute that we release something to God and let go of it ourselves, then God can take it and put the blessing on it, and it starts to multiply. You understand that? So this is what the principle of tithe is all about. And God says, once you do that, because he said to the children of Israel right here, he said, you return to tithe to me. And he said, prove me. He said, if I want, open up the windows of heaven, because now you've given me something to work with. And he said, you give me access to get down to you. I'll open the windows of heaven. A window, you know, if you got a window in a building somewhere, that's a way of access. Okay? He said, if you'll open up, or if you give me the tithe, you open up that window. He said, I'll open up the windows of heaven. You will give me access. And he said, I'll pour the blessing. You won't have room to contain it. Now, God says, prove him in that. He said, I pour the blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit in your field, says the Lord of hosts. Now, let's move on. Deuteronomy chapter 14, verses 22 and 23. Now, we're asking the question, where does a tithe go? What is it used for? What is a tithe used for? Deuteronomy chapter 14, verses, 22 and 23. And you shall surely tithe all the increase of your grain that the field produces year by year, that you shall eat before the Lord your God in the place where he chooses to make his name abide, the tithe of your grain and your new wine and your oil, of the firstborn of your herds, of your flocks, that you may learn to fear the Lord your God always. That was the festival tithe. He said, you gather together. He said, you come together. I told you before, there were three tithes that they would take under the old covenant. There was a Levitical tithe that supported the priesthood. There was the festival tithe that once a year they would all gather together for a big celebration. And then there was what they called a welfare tithe, when they would look after the people that were poor. Well, the next one is about that. Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 28 and 29. At the end of every third year, this is the welfare tithe. At the end of every third year, what happened to our screens? Did it? Go back again, find it. Okay, let's get back. There we go, right there. Thank you. At the end of every third year, you shall bring out the tithe of your produce. This is the welfare tithe of that year, and store it up within your gates, that the Levite, now notice the four groups of people here, that the Levite, because he has no portion or inheritance with you, and the stranger, and the fatherless, and the widow. These four groups of people. The Levite, the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow. He said the tithe is meant to help them out. Now, so he says, that they may come and eat and be satisfied, that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands. Deuteronomy chapter 26. Verses 1 to 4. And it shall be, when you come into the land which the Lord your God has given you as an inheritance, and you possess it and dwell in it, that you shall take some of the first of all the produce of the ground which you shall bring from the land to the Lord your God, that the Lord your God has given you, and put it in a basket, and go to the place where the Lord your God chooses to make his name great. And you shall go to the one who was priest in those days, and say to him, I declare today to the Lord your God, that I have come out of the country which the Lord swore to our fathers to give, come into the country that the Lord our God swore to give us. Then the priest shall take the basket out of your hand and set it down before the altar of the Lord your God. This was a part of their worship, was bringing their tithe. Deuteronomy chapter 26, 12 to 15. When you have finished laying aside all the tithe of your increase in the third year, the year of tithing, and have given it to the Levite. Now notice these four groups of people again. Given it to the Levite, the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow. Now, who were the? The Levites were the priesthood. They had no inheritance. We get into that in a minute. They had no inheritance. The stranger were people that came in to visit Israel or probably traveling through that had no means of support. The fatherless, again, no one to look after them. The widow, no one to look after them. So this is what this tithe was used for, to help out these four groups of people. This is the welfare tithe, now the one that came in every third year. So that they may eat within your gates and be filled. Then you shall say before the Lord your God, I have removed the holy tithe from my house. Notice God considers a tithe a holy thing. He said, you shall say before the Lord, I have removed the holy tithe from my house, and also have given them to the Levite, the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, according to all that you've commanded, commandments which you have commanded me. I have not transgressed your commandments, nor have I forgotten them. I have not eaten any of it when in mourning. In other words, I wasn't going through a bad time and took some of the tithe for myself. This is what he's saying. How many know it's not a good thing to dip into the tithe when you're going through struggles? Now, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but how many have done that? We all have. Right? Never works. Don't get mad at me. I'm just reading scripture to you. I have not eaten any of it when in mourning, nor have I removed any of it for an unclean use, nor have I given any of it for the dead. I have obeyed the voice of the Lord my God, and I have done according to all that you have commanded me. Look down from your holy habitation from heaven and bless your people Israel and the land which you have given us, just as you swore to our fathers, a land flowing with milk and honey. So he said, we've taken all the tithe from our houses, we've not held on to it, we've brought it out, and now, Lord, we're looking for the blessing. Okay, Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 1 to 5. The priest, the Levites, all the tribe of Levi. Now, this is why they're called Levites. They came from the tribe of Levi. Remember, there were 12 tribes? The Levite tribe, the tribe of Levi, were the priest, were the ministry people. Okay? So he says, the priest, the Levites, all the tribe of Levi, shall have no part nor inheritance with Israel. Now, you say, well, what does that mean? When they came across the Red Sea, God brought them into the promised land. The first city that fell was Jericho, and then they went into Ai, and they went all through the land, and took the land because the land was overrun by paganism and sacrificing their children and everything else, and God told them to go in and take that land from the people. Now, God had a right to do that. God owns everything. Remember? God gave that land to the children of Israel. Now, so God says, go in and do that, and then when they get in there, they start to divide the land up into different tribes. Asher and Dan and Naphtali and Judah and Reuben and, you know, all these different things. But he said, when it came to the tribe of Levi, he said, these are the ones that are going to be my priests. These are the ones that are going to be the ministers in the temple area. Okay? He said, they don't get any of the land. He said, well, that's not very fair. But when you look at God's plan, it is fair. He said, they don't get any of the land that they can plant their crops and everything else. In other words, they can't do normal business. They can't go out and be farmers and whatever the case might be, you know, set up their businesses that way. Why? Well, let's look on. He said, the priest, the Levites, and all the tribe of Israel, Levi, shall have no part nor inheritance with Israel. They shall eat the offerings of the Lord made by fire and his portions. In other words, when they brought the offerings to the temple area, he said, the priest, the Levites, shall eat from that. Okay, the offerings that you bring for your sacrifices and all these different things. Now, what they would do, they would bring in, and some of the offerings had to be burnt. Some of them were waved before the Lord. There's different protocol that they had to go for different offerings. Now, they wouldn't burn the whole lot. They would bring it in, and they would take a portion of that and burn it, you know, before the Lord as it come up as a sweet-smelling savor. It was a part of their offering. But he said, all the offerings that came in, that was for the priesthood to live on. Okay, now, therefore, they shall have no inheritance among their brethren. The Lord is their inheritance. In other words, God is going to look after them. The Lord is their inheritance. And this shall be the priest's due from the people, from those who offer sacrifices, whether as bull or sheep. He shall give to the priest the shoulder, the cheeks, and the stomach, the first fruits of your grain, of your new wine, and your oil, and the first of your fleece of your sheep shall you give to him. Now notice verse 5, for the Lord your God has chosen him out of all the tribes to stand to minister in the name of the Lord, him and his sons forever. Now get that? He says, the tribe of Levi shall have no inheritance. They don't go out and do normal business. They don't go out and have, you know, their own business and things like that. He said, I've called them, he said, to preach or to minister before me. In the New Covenant, we say preach the gospel. But to minister before me, he said, I will be their inheritance. They have no other source of income. Just like the fatherless, the widows, the strangers, they have no source of income. And he said, the priesthood, he says, got no source of income except the tithe. Okay, so we're answering the question, where does the tithe go? What is it used for? Okay, now, so they had no inheritance in the land. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 19. He said, do not forsake the Levite as long as you live in the land. Numbers 18, verses 20. That's when I just did it. Oh, no, okay. Then the Lord said to Aaron. Now, Aaron was the high priest. Okay, he was the brother of Moses. He was the high priest, and he had his children were the priesthood and different things. They're from the tribe of Levi. The Lord said to Aaron, the high priest, you shall have no inheritance in their land, nor shall you have any portion among them. I am your portion and your inheritance among the children of Israel. Behold, I have given the children of Levi, this is the priesthood, I've given the children of Levi all the tithes in Israel as an inheritance. Why? In return for the work that they do for me. He said, in return for the work which they perform, the work of the tabernacle of meeting. Now what God was saying, when we bring our tithe to the Lord, God says, and how many knows that the gospel and the extension of God's kingdom is important to God? God set up a system because God wants to have people on the earth that would be preachers and missionaries and evangelists and all these other ministries. God's got people on the earth that he's called for that, and God said, I got a system for looking after them. And the system is, the tithe that you bring in belongs to me, God is saying, and he said, I've given it to them. You understand? He said, I give it to them for the work that they're doing. So what we need to understand, when let's go back to the Old Testament time, when the priest would come in, and they were going through the ceremonies and the rituals and bringing the offerings and different things on behalf of the people, the priest was working on behalf of the people, but he's also working on behalf of God. He was God's hand extended to the people. So when the people wanted anything, they had to come through the high priest. Today, we go through our high priest, which is Jesus. You understand that? So the priesthood, he said, they're supported by the tithe. God's tithe belongs to me, and I've given it to the Levites. I've given it to the children of Aaron and his family. Now, he said, for the work, in return for the work which they perform in the tabernacle of meeting, God pays his workers from the tithe. Numbers 18, 24. I think that's where I'm at. 24 to 31. For the tithe of the children of Israel, which they offer up as a heave offering to the Lord, I have given to the Levites as an inheritance. Therefore, I said to them among the children of Israel, they shall have no inheritance. In other words, they don't have any land that they can go out and raise cattle and crops and all these different things. God said, I've never called them for that. I've called them to minister to me. Okay? And God says, when you bring your tithe in, that's what I use to pay them. Now, then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak thus to the Levites, and say to them, when you take from the children of Israel the tithe, which I have given to you from all as their inheritance, then you shall offer up a heave offering of it before the Lord, a tenth of the tithe. Now, you get this. He's talking to Moses here, talking to the children of Levi and Aaron and different things. He said, you take a tithe after tithe. How many of you understand that preachers should tithe? Okay, those that receive tithe, tithe. You understand that? Matter of fact, over the New Testament, when it talks about, remember Melchizedek again? The Bible says that Levi, who receives tithe, tithe in Abraham. Even before he was born, he was tithing. I've said this before, and I believe it's true. If you're a tither, you can expect God's blessing upon your family. You understand it? Because as you tithe, those that even in your loins or in your womb as a woman, those that are within you, they're blessed as Levi was, which was three generations, I think it was, down the road from Abraham. It was Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Levi. Yeah. So from three generations after Abraham, Levi was blessed because of tithe that Abraham gave. You understand that? Anyway, let's move on. A tenth of the tithe, and your heave offering shall be reckoned to you as though it were... See, here's the priesthood again. They never had vineyards. They never went out and harvested grapes and you know, all these different things. He said, but when you bring the tithe, God said, I will count it. It shall be reckoned to you as though it were the grain of the threshing floor and as the fullness of the winepress. Thus you shall also offer up a heave offering to the Lord from all the tithes which you receive from the children of Israel, and you shall give the Lord's heave offering from it to Aaron the priest. All of your gifts you shall offer up, of all your gifts rather, you shall offer up offering due to the Lord from all the best of them, the consecrated part of them. Therefore you shall say to them, when you have lifted up the best of it, then the rest shall be accounted to the Levites as produce of the threshing floor and the produce of the wine press. In other words, when they bring it in, even though the Levites are not going out working and things like this, God will consider that as if they brought the produce of, you know, we would say today, working at their jobs and everything else, the Levite, when they brought their tithe, God honored it that way. He said to the Levites, you may eat it in any place, you and your household. In other words, you and your family, you know, we would say the priest and his family. For it is your reward for your work in the tabernacle of meeting. So he's saying, you know, we're talking about, where does the tithe go? He said, it goes to the priesthood, or the ministers, we would say. He said, because it's their reward for working for God and doing his work on the earth. You understand it? Now, and you shall bear no sin because of it. And when you've lifted up, because you're not allowed to touch the tithe, but the priesthood was, because, you know, that's what it was for. Okay, now, We talk about during in captivity for 70 years. And we're going to go back up here now to Nehemiah on the other side there. Nehemiah, if you know the story, and we don't have time to get into all the details this morning because it would take too long to get through it. But Nehemiah led some people back from Babylon back to Israel. Before him, there's a fellow named Zerubbabel. Then there was Ezra and Nehemiah that was going back, and he was taking some people back, and they were setting up some things. He got permission from the king in Babylon or Persia, you know, things like this, to come and go back into Jerusalem and rebuild a city. And you know, God was liberating the people again and putting them back into their own land. Now, so they were going back, and Nehemiah was the governor. He had commands from the king, and he was given the position of governor. Now, he had a lot of authority. Okay, what he said went. You understand that? So when he came back to the land of Israel and sized up the situation, this is what he said. First of all, they looked at everything that was going on, the priesthood and all the different things, the tabernacle, the temple area, and he saw the ruin that was there, and this is what he decided. And he said in this is Nehemiah 10, verse 34 and 35. He said, "We cast lots amongst the priests, the Levites, and the people for bringing the wood offering into the house of our God, according to their fathers' houses, at the appointed time of the year, to burn on the altar of the Lord as God, our God, as it is written in the law." So he's saying, we cast lots amongst ourselves. Now let me say, there were Levites, and then there were priests. The Levites, we would say, would be the helps ministries and different things. You got to understand that when they sacrificed all these animals and all the different things that were going on, I mean, there was cleanup that had to be done every day. I mean, how many knows when you sacrifice animals, there's going to be an awful mess around. You needed people to clean up every day. You needed people to keep the fires going all the time. You needed the lamps burning all the time. These are all things that God told them to do. Keep the lamps burning all the time. Every day somebody had to bake some bread and bring in the shoal bread and change it and different things. So, I mean, these things are going on all the time. You need a score of people just to keep things running in the temple area. I mean, this is not just a little local church. This was the main religious center of the entire nation. You know, and so he says, in the temple area, you had all these workers going on there. And he said, this is what this was used for. So he said, we cast lots amongst ourselves, the Levites, he said, and the people for bringing wood. I mean, they had to bring wood for all the offerings and all the sacrifices. These people had to be paid. And then he says, and we made ordinances to bring the first fruits off of the ground and the first fruits of all the trees year by year to the Lord, to the house of the Lord. So we set up this system that we would bring the wood and different things and all the first fruits and all the tithe, we'd bring it into the Lord and do it that way. Now let's go on down and see how this turned out. Excuse me. Verse 37. He said, to bring the first fruits. Now notice this, what he says here. To bring the first fruits of our dough. Isn't that interesting? I mean, every part of life. He said, to bring the first fruits of our dough, our offerings, the fruit of all kinds of trees, the new wine, the oil, to the priest, to the storerooms of the house of our God, and to bring the tithe of the land to the Levites, for the Levites should receive the tithe in all the farming communities. And the priests, the descendants of Aaron, shall be with the Levites when the Levites receive the tithe. And the Levites shall bring up the tenth of the tithes to the house of God, to the rooms of the storehouse. For the children of Israel and the children of Levi shall bring the offering of the grain, the new wine, the oil, into the storerooms where the articles of the sanctuary are, where the priests who minister and the gatekeepers and the singers. And we will not neglect the house of our God. So this is what they were saying they would do. They said, we're going to bring the wood. We're going to bring all the offerings and everything else. We're going to bring it to the house of the Lord. We're not going to forget the house of our Lord. Now, that was fine. Down in chapter 12, verse 44. And at the same time, some were appointed over the rooms of the storehouses for the offerings, the first fruits, and the tithe, to gather them from the fields of the cities, and the portion specified by the law for the priests and the Levites. For Judah rejoiced over the priests and the Levites who ministered. Now, sometime later, Nehemiah, he went back to Babylon again. And after that term was done. And then he got the okay from the king to come again to continue on setting things up. Now, you understand, he was the governor. He could make some decisions. When he came back, I'll just give you a little background here. When he came back, he found out that the priest had took God's stuff out of the storehouses. And there's a fellow there named Tobiah, which was an enemy to Israel. And the Jews said that he intermarried into the priest's family. So I don't know for sure, but that's what the Jewish people teach. That he intermarried into the Jewish family. And the priest took some of the things out of the storehouse, and he made a room for Tobiah to live in. In other words, he gave him one of the storehouses to convert into a house. Okay, and this was a no-no. When Nehemiah came back and saw that, it made him angry. Listen to what he says. And he said, I came to Jerusalem, and I discovered the evil that Eliashib, that's the priest, had done for Tobiah. He said, I discovered the evil that he's done for Tobiah in preparing a room for him in the courts of the house of the God. And it grieved me bitterly. Therefore, he said, I threw out, he said, all the household goods of Tobiah out of the room. And I commanded them to cleanse the rooms, and I brought back into them the articles of the house of God with the grain offering and the frankincense. Now notice this. This was sometime later, after they decided we're going to be obedient, we're going to support the priesthood and all these different things. Notice what happened here. He said, I also realized that the portions for the Levites, remember they were supposed to receive the tithe? He said, that the portions for the Levites had not been given to them. How did he figure that out? He said, because each of the Levites and the singers who did the work had gone back to his field. In other words, they went out and looked for a different job. They went back out and started working at secular work because there was not enough income coming in to support them. How many knows that there's a lot of churches around today that don't support their ministry? You know? And how many knows there's a lot of pastors that had to go back out in the workforce just to supply for their family? God had a plan for all this, for this to work. This is why God says, this is holy to me. This is his work on the earth. This is how he supports it. This is why the tithe is so important to God. Because without the tithe, he can't support his work. Okay, God's not going to rain down counterfeit money. You understand that? Anyway. He said, I also realized that the portions for the Levites had not been given to them, for each of the Levites, the singers who did the work, had gone back to his field. So I contended with the rulers. He said, I called a meeting together. I contended with the rulers and said, why is the house of God forsaken? You know, you go out and build your own houses, you do everything else, but why is God's house forsaken? This is what he's saying. And I gathered them together, and I set them in their place. He took no foolishness from them. He said, I set them in their place. And he said, then all Judah brought the tithe of the grain, the new wine, and the oil to the storehouse. And start to change. People start to bring it in. And God started to bless them. Now let's go over to the New Testament. We'll touch a few verses there and we'll finish up. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 1 to 14. I'm just going to read down through it very quickly. Because sometimes we look at it and say, well, that was under the old covenant. You know, is that same principle under the new covenant? You know, that God supports his ministries the same way? Let's see what the New Testament. Now, I know, you know, you're saying you're doing an awful lot of reading this morning. You're talking awful fast like a newfie, you know. Just tune in. If you catch the wave, you can flow with it, okay? If you think of something else, you lost it. So you just got to stay with it. Okay, we'll get down through this in a few minutes. 1 Corinthians 9, 1 to 14. Paul says, am I not an apostle? Now, you got to understand, when Paul's going around, there's people coming after him. We talked about this in Galatians and everything. They're always saying Paul's not a true apostle because, you know, he wasn't there with Jesus and all these different things. So Paul says, am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are you not my work in the Lord? In other words, you know, the Corinthians, there was no church there before Paul went there. He is the one that founded the church. He said, if I am not an apostle to others, he said, doubtless I am to you. For you are the seal of my apostleship in the Lord. My defense to those who examine me is this. Do we have no right to eat and drink? You know, people are saying, Paul don't deserve to be supported. Paul said, don't we have a right to eat and drink as well as anybody else? He said, do we not have a right to take along a believing wife, as do all the other apostles, the brothers of the Lord and Cephas or Peter? Or is it only Barnabas and I who have no right to refrain from working? And he said, are we the only ones who say, got to go out and work at a secular job or work on, you know, get a job on the side to support ourselves? Now notice this. Verse 7, whoever goes to war at his own expense. Now, can you imagine the Canadian government says, listen, we're doing a, you know, some kind of a situation is taking place somewhere. We're sending our military over there. And so they call up all the military and said, listen, we need you to show up in such and such a place. We're going to, begin a battle or whatever the case might be, a procedure we're going to do in this particular land. And we need you there on, say, June the 1st. Well, you don't say, well, now, hold on now. I got to get enough money for a plane ticket first. And then I got to buy some bullets. You know, so I don't know if I can make it on this one. I'll have to come. No, he said, when you go to war, you don't consider them things. He said, these things are looked after for you. You understand? So this is what he's saying. He said, whoever goes to war at his own expense, who plants a vineyard and does not eat of its fruit? In other words, you're a farmer. You eat from the what you produce. He said, who tends a flock and does not drink of the milk of the flock? He said, do I say these things as a mere man? He said, is this just my opinion? He said, or does not the law say the same also? Doesn't God's word say the same thing? He said, for it is written in the law of Moses, you shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain. And then he says, is it the oxen that God was concerned about when he said that? He said, did God say that for the oxen's benefit? He said, is it oxen that God is concerned? Or does he say it altogether for our sakes? It's for our sakes, no doubt, that this is written, that he who plows should plow in hope. I mean, if you go and work for a company, if you got a job somewhere, you expect to get a paycheck. If you stay there for a few weeks and they don't pay you, man, you're going to go and check with the boss and, you know, or else scoot off somewhere else and get a job somewhere else. You're not going to stay around there if they're not paying you. Everybody understand that? So this is what he's saying here. He who plows should plow in hope, or in other words, he who works should work in hope, and he who threshes in hope should be partaker of this hope. Then he gives a principle that's back from the beginning, right on through, and even in force today. He said, if we have sown spiritual things to you, is it a great thing if we reap your material things? See, this is a principle that God has gotten. We see it again in another verse in a little while. He said, those that sow spiritual things to you should also reap material things back in payment. This is what he's saying. He said, if others are partakers of this right over you, are not we even more? Nevertheless, we have not used this right, but endure all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. Now, you understand, Paul went into areas where the gospel was never ever preached, and Paul didn't want to use that as a stumbling block to stop him from going there. So Paul had a job on the side, you know that. Now, verse 13, he said, do you not know that those who minister to holy things eat of the things of the temple? Remember we just talked about when the tithe was brought in, they were ministering to God, they received their income from the tithe that was brought in. He said, do you not know that those who minister to the holy things eat of the things of the temple, and those who serve at the altar partake of the offerings at the altar? They live off that. See, same principle from the old covenant into the new covenant. Some people say, well, the tithe is not for today. It was used back there to support God's ministry. It was used today to support God's ministry. He said, even so, the Lord has commanded. Now get this, the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should live from the gospel. You understand that? Same principles, the old covenant. Okay, let's go on to 1 Timothy. Chapter 5, verse 17 and 18. Let the elders who rule... Now, elders, some places say pastors or overseers, who rule well, be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in word and doctrine. I remember in one of the churches we were at one time before, there was one man in the church. He was on the board of the church, and every time there was something came up, but the salary and everything else, he used to always be very stern. He said, listen, very stern. He said, listen, he said, God says they're worthy of double honor. And he was very strong on that, and this is a verse he would use. And this is what Paul's saying here. He said, let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. I remember talking a few years ago to a friend of mine that he was on the board, and there was every year they did a thing, you know, the salary, reviewed the salary and different things. And the pastor was making more money than he was making. And he decided that he wasn't going to support either raise for the pastor because he's making more than I'm making. You know. And he argued against that and everything else. And I, as a matter of fact, the reason I say that because I remember quoting this verse to him. I said, the Bible says they're worthy of double honor. Yeah, but he said, I don't understand. He said, well, he's got to make more money than I have. He said, I'm struggling and everything else. He said, that man, he said, shouldn't make any more than I. I said, listen, he's ministering in the word and doctrine, worthy of double honor. And he argued about that. And he, honestly, I noticed the situation. He went into all kinds of financial trouble himself because you can't go against God's principles and be blessed. Anyway, let's move on. So he said, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine, for the scripture says, you shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain, and the laborer is worthy of his wages. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Getting down to the end, everybody can say amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12, 13. And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and to admonish them, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. See, same principle. Esteem those. Now, I'm not saying that because I'm the pastor. This was written long before I was a pastor. Okay? Romans chapter 15, verse 27. It pleased them indeed, and they are their debtors. Now, notice that principle I talked about before. When somebody ministers spiritual things, we should minister back material things. Notice what he says here. For if the Gentiles have been partakers, he's talking about the Gentiles and Jews, if the Gentiles have been partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister to them in material things. Galatians 6 and 6. Let him who is taught in the word share in all good things with him who teaches. I think the Living Translation says, pay him who teaches him. Let him who is taught in the word pay him, pay the one who's teaching him. Last verse, and everybody says amen. There you go. Luke chapter 10, verse 7. Now Jesus himself said this. Can't argue with Jesus. Jesus himself, you can't argue with any God's word when it comes to that. In Luke 10, verse 7, Jesus said, for the laborer is worthy of his wages. The laborer is worthy of his wages. Now, we're going to finish up in about 2 minutes. But we're talking about the tithe. It's holy to God. The reason it's holy is because that's how God supports his work on the earth. God wants his message sent out on the earth. God wants people that are in a local church. God is concerned about you as local churches. He's concerned about us. He's concerned about each one of us, you know, as members in the church. God wants us to have teaching. He wants us to grow. He wants us to mature. He wants us to become like Christ. And we need, the Bible says, how can they, you know, go unless they're sent? How can they hear unless a preacher tells them? You know, so this God's plan to support his work on the earth is a tithing system. And God said, this is why is holy to God, because the minute that stopped, God's work has stopped. And God will owe no man anything. Now, so when we're tithing, you say, well, I don't like the pastor. I'm not going to tithe there. This, I've heard that so many times over the years. Not pointed at me. I'm sure people say it, but not pointed at me. But I've heard other people say it in other churches. You know, well, I don't like that pastor. So I stopped tithing. Listen, the tithe is the Lord's, not yours. You're not tithing to the pastor. You're tithing to the Lord. You understand that? When you tithe to the Lord, then you'll give God the opportunity to open that window for you, because you've given him something to bless. You're asking God to bless you all the time. God said, well, give me something to bless and I'll do it for you. No, just bless me. That's like going to the Royal Bank and say, listen, I'd like to take $5,000. They said, okay. You got an account here? No. Well, how are you going to withdraw it? You fellas got lots of money. One time we were in Newfoundland one time. A fellow went to, remember they used to have, I think it was Niagara Finance back in those days? And he was, I don't know the man, but I just heard people telling the story. I guess he just wasn't all, you know, the brightest. And he went into Niagara Finance. And he said, I want a loan. And he said, how much you want? He said, I don't know, how much you got? You know. But when we come before God, we're asking God to bless us. We've got to release something for God in order for God to take it and multiply it. How many knows that a million times zero is what? Right? But if you give something there at a million times that, man, I tell you, that makes a difference. You understand? So the tithe is so very important. Now, I'm not saying that because we're here trying to twist your arm and get money out of you. Like I said, this is the first time I'm preaching this for 16, 17 years. So it's not, you know, but we're doing a series on tithing. What about the tithe? Because there's a lot of people today who say, well, you know, we're living in a new covenant, so it's not part of the new covenant. Listen, where do you get that? I mean, we look at scriptures. We look at scriptures in Hebrews. We look at scriptures this morning. It all supports the same. That system was there right back from the Garden of Eden. We're not until Jesus comes back. That's how God supports his work. There's a certain portion on the planet that belongs to God, and he tells us not to take it because it's holy to him, because that's God's way of doing his work on the earth. As I said, God doesn't rain down counterfeit money. God uses the money that's already on the planet. When Peter, remember they had to pay the taxes? Jesus said to Peter, go down to the fish, go down to the water, put in the hook, he said, you pull out the fish, and the fish had the money in his mouth. See, God is not into counterfeit money. You know, God can bring money from sources that we don't understand sometimes, and ways that we don't understand, but God is always doing things legitimately. Okay, and God's legitimate way of supporting his work on the earth is through our tithes and our offerings, and God's way of blessing you, one of the ways that he blesses you, is when you release something to him, you give him an opportunity to open that window and pour out a blessing. But until you release something to him, he's got nothing to bless. There's nothing there to bless. So you've got to make a deposit if you want to make a withdrawal. Make sense? God's interest rates is a lot better than the banks. I'll tell you that.